Welcome once again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to ask you, if you can, to turn to the book of Romans chapter 15, and we're going to be focusing this evening on verses 22 through verse 28. Romans 15, verses 22 through verse 28. Now, what I'm going to do is give you an overview of this particular section, what's going on in the section. The Apostle Paul is explaining his plans to the church at Rome. He had never visited this church before, and he's explaining why he had never visited, and then he's going to give them plans to visit them in the future. He is going to explain that he plans on visiting them in the future, but he didn't know exactly when that would be. So he kind of gives them a guideline of when he would visit. So let me go ahead and read a small portion of this. It says, "For this cause, I have been much hindered from coming to you." Now, we mentioned this verse last week, and he had never visited the Roman church. And the reason why he hadn't is because of the type of ministry that he had. In verse 20, he said he had strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. So he never went to places where Christ was named. And that, by that, he just simply means he sought to preach the gospel in places that never heard of Jesus. He sought to spread the gospel in places that had never heard the gospel. And, you know, even today there's places that's never heard the gospel. But Paul, that was the driving force behind his life, is to share the gospel where people had never heard it. Now, what a ministry that was. That took a lot of travel, and that took a lot of his time. So that's why he'd been hindered from visiting Rome. They were already a church. They already had heard the gospel. They had already been established as a church. So he hadn't visited for the reason of he was busy sharing the message to people that had never heard it before. So that was the reason he hindered it. Now he gives his plans. He shares with them his plans, what he planned on doing. And, of course, when he planned, he would submit that to the will of God. You look down at verse 32. We'll see this next week. He says, "I may come to you with joy by the will of God." Of course, we make plans. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But, again, we submit that to God's will. We don't want to plan things without submitting it to God's will. That'd be a form of pride. We don't know what a day may bring forth. So we make our plans, and then we say, "Lord willing, we will do this or that," as the book of James says. So what he planned to do was to take his journey into Spain, verse 24 of Romans 15. "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." So when he's going to make a trip to Spain, he plans on doing that in the future. And he says, when I do, that he would come and visit the church that was located at Rome. But before this trip to Spain would be made, he had something he had to do. He had something that he had to do. And what it was, in verse 25, he says, "But now I go to Jerusalem." So before he begins his trip to Spain, which is when he planned on visiting the church located at Rome, he first had to make a trip to Jerusalem. To the church that was located at Jerusalem. And the reason why he was going there is because verse 26 says, "It pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia." Now, in Macedonia and Achaia, there was churches there. In Macedonia, the book of the church of Philippi, the book of Philippians was written to the church at Philippi. Also at Macedonia was the church of Thessalonica. The book of Thessalonians in our Bible. Also in that area was Berea. You'll remember in Acts 17, the Bereans were Bible students. So these were no doubt churches in these particular places. And also in Achaia, that was in southern Greece. And there's two churches mentioned there. Corinth was located in Achaia. And, of course, Athens was also there in Achaia. So there would be believers. Paul had been in all these locations, and there would be Christians in these locations and churches in these locations. So he intended to take from these churches. Now, let me go ahead and read our text. It had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. Something had happened in Jerusalem, and the church had fell on hard times financially. Remember, we're doing a study through the book of Acts, and one of the things they did is they set out a daily ministration for the widows that were in their church. So there, the church of Jerusalem was exceedingly large. So it seems that they had grew financially strapped. They were having a hard time financially. They had needs. And what the Apostle Paul planned on doing is to bring an offering from these Gentile churches to the church of Jerusalem. And he placed a high priority on that. He realized that the church of Jerusalem was in a, you know, had a problem, and that these Gentile churches was willing to take an offering. You can read even further about that. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. We'll look at that after a while in the radio broadcast, if time permit. But he gives some detail. He dedicates two chapters, really, to the taking up of this offering to help the church at Jerusalem. Now, I think this was so important to him. And one reason it was important, because, like I said, these were churches that was made up of Gentile people. And the church of Jerusalem was made up primarily of Jews. So under the new covenant, the Jew and the Gentiles are one in Christ. They were brothers and sisters. Was it that way under the old covenant? The book of Ephesians talks about how there was a middle wall of partition between them. Of course, there was indeed a wall in the temple, and it was separated the Gentiles from the Jews. A Gentile could be a proselyte into the Jewish religion, but for the most part, there was no closeness between them and the Jews, and they were kept separate. But under New Covenant, it all changed. They would be brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, the true Jew under the New Covenant, as we've seen in the book of Romans chapter 2, the true Jew is one that's had a circumcised heart. The true Jew is one that's been born again. Let me read that verse to you again. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. So he establishes the fact that the true Jew in the eyes of the Lord is everyone that has been born again. So the Jew and the Gentile are one in Christ. Ephesians says he's broken down that middle wall or partition between us, and he's made us one. So these Gentiles who were doing well, obviously, I don't know how well they're doing. Some of these churches may have been poor, but they were sending an offering. If I remember right, the Philippian church wasn't that well off financially, but they seen the importance of sending an offering to help those that were poor or having trouble in Jerusalem. So Paul felt it was important that he be the one, with others appointed to go with him, to bring this offering and to go with it to Jerusalem and present to them this offering from their brothers and sisters that by physical birth were Gentiles, but by new birth was Jews. Okay, so that's what he's referring to. He shares his plans. I plan on visiting you when I go to Spain, but before I even start that journey, I got to go to Jerusalem first. And he's going to take this offering from these Gentile churches with him. Now, what we want to do now in the rest of this broadcast, we've entitled this broadcast, The Gentiles Offering to the Jews. And what we're going to do is show you some of the details and lessons about that offering. You can learn a lot about giving by looking at this text. And we're going to look at it, and we're going to bring out some of the details about this offering, some of the lessons that we learn about giving in this text. So let's go ahead now and let's look down at verse 26 again. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a contribution to the poor saints, which is at Jerusalem. Now, the first lesson that I want you to see in this study on giving this evening from this text, it says it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia. That means that they offered this offering willingly. It was a willing offering. As a matter of fact, it mentions it twice. If you'll look in verse 26, it pleased them. Then in verse 27, it pleased them verily, which means truly. So twice it stresses the fact that this offering that the Gentile churches were sending to Jerusalem was something that pleased them to do it. It wasn't done out of drudgery or because they felt like they had to. It pleased them to do so. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And indeed, of course, 2 Corinthians 9 deals with the gathering of this offering. And it stresses the fact that an offering should be offered willingly, not grudgingly. And that's how they were given it. And whenever you give to the Lord's work, it should be done willingly. It shouldn't be done grudgingly. Every dime you got anyhow is because the Lord has given it to you. And when we're given, we like to say we're given of our money. Really, all the money belongs to the Lord. But when we give of it, we're given that because we're glad to do so. We want to support the work. We want to support the gospel going out. We want to support the church and carrying out its commission. But it's a willing offering. We don't do it because we feel like we have to. We don't do it grudgingly. But as it says in 2 Corinthians 9, it's a cheerful giver. It pleases you to do so. So that's one reason. One of the details of this giving is it was done willingly. Now, another reason for this giving is because, and this is another very important one, is because it showed their appreciation. It showed their appreciation to the Jews. Not only did they give because it pleased them to do so, that was our first lesson, but secondly, they did it because of appreciation. An appreciation to the Jews. And that's explained in verse 27. It pleased them verily, truly, that they're, and their debtors they are. It says that the Gentiles were debtors to the Jews. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them of their carnal things. Well, what's he speaking of here? Well, the Gentiles received the gospel from the Jews. I mean, it was the church of Jerusalem was primarily made up of Jews. And from there, the message spread to Antioch. I mean, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then it went to the othermost parts of the earth. Eventually, it ended up in Antioch. And you read about the church at Antioch. And they are the ones that sent out Paul and Barnabas. They were Jews. And it was the Jews that were given the gospel first. And they shared these spiritual blessings with the Gentiles. I tell you what, folks, one of the greatest cards I ever got from anybody was a man that was saved when he was about 66 years old. He was dying, and I visited him. Lord gave me a burden for this man. I was so afraid that he would die without the Lord. And I prayed earnestly for him with tears that the Lord would open his heart and give me an opportunity to share Jesus with him. And the Lord did. That man trusted Jesus as his Savior. And he sent me a card one time. This was before he passed. And that card says, "Thank you for sharing Jesus with me." He was appreciative. And here, the Gentiles were showing their appreciation by sending to help their brothers, their Jewish brothers back at Jerusalem. They had received from them the gospel. Now they are returning or showing appreciation to them by sending to help them in their need. Let me read the verse again in verse 27 for it. The Gentiles are being made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is to minister them in carnal things. So they gave, showing their appreciation to the Jews. And that indeed is a blessing, is it not? I mean, after all, the gospel had come to them from them. God had used the Jews to bring the gospel, the scriptures. and all the blessings associated with it to the Gentiles. And they're giving back of their carnal things. Their giving back of their carnal things was just an act of appreciation for them sharing with them their spiritual things. So those are two lessons thus far that we've seen about in this message, the Gentile offering to the Jews. Those are two lessons we see. We're learning about giving. It should be done willingly, and it should be done out of appreciation. When you give, it's out of appreciation. Mainly appreciation for what the Lord has done in saving your soul. Appreciation for what the church does in declaring His message and spreading His gospel. You give because you want to. A willing giver and appreciative giver. Now, let's go ahead and move on to the next lesson we learn about the giving of the Gentiles offering to the Jews. That's what the message is entitled. Now, let's go ahead and notice the third lesson in verse 28. When therefore I have performed this, that's his going to Jerusalem, and have sealed to them this gift. Now he refers, have sealed to them this fruit. Let me read that one more time. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you to Spain. Now, the next lesson we want to learn about giving. Now, you got our first one. It was a willing offering. Number two, it was an appreciative offering. The Jews had shared with them their spiritual things. Now, they're paying back through carnal things. But third lesson that I want you to see is that this offering was a fruit offering. Now, I don't mean that they sent fruit to them. But what I do mean to say is that this was fruit of a genuine salvation. To the Jews, it would have spoke volumes about the conversion of the Gentiles. A proof of salvation is fruit. When someone's truly been born again and truly have had a heart change, then there will be fruit. One of the things that was taught that people should bring forth fruit. That's what John the Baptist said to the unbelieving Jews in his day. He said, bring forth fruit met for repentance. You see, a genuine repentance, the word repentance means a change of mind or a change of heart. Repentance is inward. And when repentance takes place, so does faith. Repentance and faith happen at the same time. Where you have one, you have the other. And you don't truly have one without the other. And when there's a genuine faith in Jesus, there will be repentance. And when there's genuine repentance, there will be faith. And it will produce fruit. It will produce a change in somebody. That's the reason why when you read about Zacchaeus in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10, you can read about that. Zacchaeus, of course, was a covetous old sinner. And he was visited by Jesus. Jesus went to his house, and in process of time, while Jesus was there, he gave half his goods to the poor. And if he had took back anything, if he had stolen from anyone, he restored it fourfold. And Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house. Well, that's not the cause of his salvation. Faith in Christ is the cause of salvation. But the proof is fruit. There will be fruits there. There will be evidence there. So when these Gentiles who had received the gospel and had established in the churches in the areas that I mentioned earlier, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, and Athens, when they send this offering, it would indeed be a evidence to the Jews of the fruit of their salvation. That's why I called it a fruit offering. It's an evidence to them that they've truly been saved. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, and the book of 1 John is an interesting study. I encourage you to do it. What it does is it shares with you evidences of a new birth. If you've had a new birth, then you'll have evidences of it. There'll be proof of it. You know, when the Bible says we need to make our election and calling sure, how you do that is you go to the book. Do you have the evidences of it? And the book of 1 John gives about 5 evidences of someone that's had a new birth. That's how you make your calling sure, is by looking at your life and seeing if there's evidences in it that you're saved. They will be when you've had a new birth. Well, one of those evidences under this heading of fruit that we're looking at right now, 1 John chapter 3, it says this. Hereby, 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought also to lay our lives down for our brethren. Now listen to this. Whoso hath this world's good, and he sees his brother hath need, and he shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Well, that's exactly what this offering from the Gentiles would have meant to their Jewish brethren. It would be an evidence that their conversion and their love was in deed and in truth. So it was a fruit offering. It was an appreciation offering, and it also was a willing offering. And that's the kind of offerings that we should offer when we give to the Lord. Now, let's go ahead and move on to the next one. As we look at this particular text, let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, as I told you earlier, Paul's talking about the offering brought by the Gentiles to the Jews here in Romans 15, but 2 Corinthians 8. And 2 Corinthians 9 also gives us a little bit more information about it. So let's move on to the next lesson about this offering given from the Gentiles. And it's, again, we can learn what true giving's all about by looking at this text. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when he's talking about sending to the church at Jerusalem, it says, wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love. The proof of your love. They were going to show the true evidence of their love by giving. It's one thing to say you love somebody. It's altogether another thing to show you love somebody by giving to them when they're in need. Here the Jerusalem church would have been in need. They were having a hard time. And then Paul would have showed up and others with an offering from the Gentile churches. It would be proof of the love that the Gentiles had for the Jews as their brothers in Christ. And the giving and the helping them when they're in need. John 3:16 says what? God so loved he gave. What's the proof of God's love? He gave. He gave more than anyone ever did or ever will. He gave His only begotten Son so that we would be saved. What's the proof of His love? The giving of His Son. God so loved He gave. So their giving to the saints of Jerusalem would have been a proof of their love. So it would be a love offering. Next in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it would be a thanksgiving offering. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. Whenever they would receive this offering from the Gentiles, it would move them. They would see that as an offering that would come to them because of God. They would thank God for it because they would realize it was God that moved the Gentiles to send the offering. So it would move them to give thanksgiving to God and to give glory to God. They wouldn't give glory to the Gentiles for that. God's the one that blessed them with the abundance. And that abundance wasn't for the purpose of just storing it up. That extra was given to them so that they could take what was extra and send it to help their brothers that was in need. Sometimes the Lord will do that. He'll bless you with a little extra, so that you can take that extra and help somebody that is in need. So it was a thanksgiving offering. It was a love offering. It was a fruit offering. It was appreciation offering. And it was a willing offering. All these lessons you see in their giving in this particular text. Now, let's go back to the book of Romans and let's continue on down in the text. Now, this is how we are to give. Whenever we give to those that have need, this is how we're to do so. And when we see these five lessons, we should be able to put that over every offering that we give. We should give it out of thanksgiving. We should give it out of love. We should give it as a token of the fruit of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We should give it out of appreciation. See, this is how we give and why we give. See, and we should give willingly. As you look at your giving, is that exactly what you see? I pray indeed that you do. Now let's go back to our text and let's go ahead and wrap this up this evening. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain. And I'm sure when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, folks, the gospel of Christ indeed is a blessing. And when someone has been blessed with the gospel and has trusted the gospel, that's what the fullness is. You have the blessing of salvation. You have the blessing of eternal life. You have the blessing of forgiveness of sins. You have a blessing of a home in the Father's house. When Paul goes there, he would be able to share with them some things that would be some truths that would be a blessing. Blessings that belong to those who have received the gospel of Christ. Well, as we've come to the end of this radio broadcast, we looked at the Gentile offering to the Jews. And we give descriptions of it. And I pray that as we've looked at those descriptions, it was a willing offering. It was an appreciation offering. It was a proof offering, a fruit offering, I should say. It was a proof of their love. It was a love offering. It was a thanksgiving offering. I pray that when you look at those five descriptions, I pray that that's the kind of givings that you give and the motivation behind why you give. May God add His blessings to His word.